Hello, Tom Autry here with another hour of walking music. I'm sure that you've noticed how many voices vying for your attention in this world. False voices, false doctrines, false prophets, false leaders, false religions, false philosophies. I could go on ad nauseum, but there's one true Word of God. There is one Savior, our precious Lord Jesus the Christ. He says in Matthew 24:5, "For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many." And again in Mark 13:6, he says, "For many will come in my name, saying, I am he, and will deceive many." And thirdly, in Luke 21:8, "And he said, take heed that you not be deceived. For many will come in my name, saying, I am he, and the time has drawn near. Therefore do not go after them." And I would just like to say, this is one way of looking at this verse. When he says, "Take heed that you not be deceived, for many will come in my name, saying, I am he." To me, that's not necessarily saying that the person speaking is saying that they are Jesus, that they are false prophets proclaiming, as the woman that was following Paul around, you know, that Paul turned around and cast a demon out of her. She was saying, you know, follow these men, they're telling the truth. Jesus is saying, "For many will come in my name, saying, I am he." I just thought that was an interesting thought, because some people will say that and say that Jesus is the Lord just enough to get you to believe all the rest of the things that they have that are really a deception. So just a word of warning. I know you know that, but this first song I'd like to start with is called Pious Piper. Thank you.
Sunday school and just live by the golden rule. You don't need to believe in the cross. Just be good and you won't be lost. Just be good and you won't be
I know that none of the BPN radio listeners are following the Pious Piper. You know, he's playing a tune, and it is a very legalistic keep the law tune. We are saved by grace through faith. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. All glory to God for saving us. He started that work and he'll finish it in us. Isn't that encouraging? It's not up to you. It's not up to me to be good enough to stay saved. You know, for a while there, when I really grasped the fact that Jesus saved me by grace, by his finished work on the cross, I was so thankful. Somewhere along the line, I started becoming exposed to legalistic teaching. And then I started questioning, you know, gosh, how can I call myself a Christian if I have done so and so? And if you ever think like that, the enemy has lots of things to work with in your life to your detriment. You say, no, I am forgiven past, present, and future sins. What an awesome, awesome God we serve. This next song I'd like to play, I've played it before on another program. It's called Coming Soon.
There have been wars and rumors of war. Nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There have been earthquakes in various places. Millions are starving. There's death on their faces. These are the signs. The wheels are turning, beginning of birth pains of my returning. I am Messiah, God's only Son. I came to save you so we can be one. Suffering and sorrow like you never know. It's time for reaping whatever you've sown. Your so-called best friends can lead you astray. Political correctness, they live it each day. portfolio. Oh, your values will change when wrong becomes right. You won't even think it's strange. I am Messiah, God's only son. I came to save you so we can be one. Misguided Christians are falling like flies. But don't you be misled by cultural lies. Many false prophets have come to deceive. You've got to hold fast to what you believe. This is my story, this is my song. I will be coming, it won't be long. I am Messiah, God's only son. I came to save you so we can be.
Yes, Jesus, Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus. Help us, Lord, to pray for our loved ones, pray for our friends, pray for America, to come back to you, to come to you, to recognize that, Jesus, you are Lord now. Whether we say so or feel like it or think it or not, you are Lord. Your word is true. You know, this next song, I've changed the name of it for such a time as this. I call it now, and I've changed one line in it. The name of this song now is called Let's Make It Great Again.
A battle rages for the souls of men. Light of truth, the darkness of sin. What's good is called evil, what's evil's called good. We're not living like we know we should. What's wrong with our country? What's happening to us? Bible was our first school book. Now just take a look. We kicked God out of school, invited the devil in, traded the Ten Commandments for the pleasures of sin. Let's fall on the knees, call on the name of the God who is able to take away our shame. Let's pray to our Father to change us from within. Let's pray for our nation. Let's make it great again. A battle rages for America. wise on the right, the fools on the left. Careless people with political plans, we're nowhere near united we stand. What's wrong with our country? What's wrong with the church? We sing God bless America, but America won't bless God. We kick God out of school, invited the devil in, traded the Ten Commandments for the pleasures of sin. Let's fall on a knee, call on the name of the God who is able to take away our shame. Let's pray to our Father to change us from within. Let's pray for our nation. Let's make it great again. America, America, God shed His grace on thee, and He crowned thy good with sweet brotherhood from sea to shining sea.
You know, in a way, America seems to me to be the prodigal son. She's left her first love. She has left her Heavenly Father who provided the very freedoms, the Constitution that we have, that the country was based upon. And somehow I just have to believe, I want to believe, that the Father is even now looking down that road for that prodigal son's return.
Never stopped looking for his son. Then a lost hope of his return. He never, ever stopped praying. He never, ever gave up. Thank you.
praying.
Never stop praying.
I just want you to know that was the late, great Gary Schaefer playing that guitar. Thank you, Brother Gary. Did a great job, as usual. You know, if you needed somebody on the keyboard, on a guitar, singing, writing a song, the Lord gave him such an awesome gift. He could really do it all. A great arranger. There again, that's another song where I just said, whatever God puts in your heart, play it. And he did. We miss you, Brother Gary. And here's another song that I think really fits the flow of what we're discussing. And that's the prodigal and the father's looking for our return. And bringing us, drawing us back to himself. Even so, Lord, draw America back to yourself. Well, this song is called He'll Come Looking. And it was written by Brent Sturgis, son of Gaylord Sturgis, who also wrote part of it, and myself, as the Lord gave it. And we hope it'll encourage you and play it for someone who may need encouragement in this area.
When I was lost, when I was bound, there was no peace, no joy to be found. I'd strayed so far away from him, I never thought he'd want me back again. Then the shepherd left his flock and came looking for me. I walked in sin and couldn't see the sacrifice, the price of Calvary. Then I fell down upon my knees and asked the Lord, forgive me, please. Then the shepherd left his flock and came looking for me. Mm-hmm. I'm here today to say to you, if you'll just take one step toward Him, He'll hear your cry and run to you. You'll hear Him say, welcome back. Yes, the shepherd will leave his flock and come looking for you. Yes, the shepherd will leave his flock and come looking for you. He'll come looking for you.
Let your presence fill this room. Let the darkness disappear. Let the light of your glory shine in here. Let your spirit quicken me. Take away any sin you see. Let me know that I know that I am free. 'Cause I believe in you. I receive from you the grace to obey. Clearly hear your voice. Let me know that you are near. Let your love come and take the place of fear. Let your spirit fill me now. Let your mercy cover me. Let your glory be the only thing I see. 'Cause I belong to you. Lord, I long for you. Let my life reflect your love in every way. I believe in I receive from you the grace to obey you every day. I belong to you. Lord, I long for you. Let my life reflect your love in every day.
Got a special interview coming up now with a very special person. My wife, Janie Autry. En español es Juanita Cassandra Autry. Mi esposa más hermosa en todo el mundo. Most beautiful girl in the whole world. Is that you laughing, Janie?
That's funny.
Well, I wanted you to come in at this part of the program because I think this would be a great place to play the song that you wrote with Gaylord Sturgis. Actually, Gaylord had heard your testimony, and the Lord gave him a song just for you. And when you heard it, it was just wonderful. And the Lord gave you some addition to it. So we produced it in our so-called bedroom studio. And I just wanted Janie to tell how that came about and what caused the inspiration for Gaylord to write this song. And just kind of flow freely. Just say whatever you want to say. Read scripture, just whatever God puts in your heart, Janie.
Thank you. I kind of like to start with the end of the story because that's the victorious part of it. And then fill in the middle part. The end of the story is Jesus said to me, "I will never leave you or forsake you." And I know that he came to my bedside one night and spoke that directly to me. He put his hands out before me, and I saw him in this room of darkness. And there he stood. And he said, "Janie, I would never hurt you. I would never abandon you. I love you. You are my child. And I will never leave you or forsake you." That's what Jesus said to me. And that's how this song came about, with a few details from the beginning. The details from the beginning started when I was 2 years old, and I was sexually abused by my biological father. And it continued on till I was 16. And the abuse escalated into physical abuse, verbal abuse, emotional abuse. And if you are out there listening to this and you have experienced that, I want you to know that Jesus loves you and you are not to blame. I know that I felt to blame. I felt dirty. I felt guilty. I felt all of those horrible feelings that go along with abuse. And if you are a child of abuse, or even if you're the perpetrator, I want to tell you, Jesus loves you. And he can forgive you if you're the perpetrator. He will forgive you if you ask his forgiveness, if you truly repent. And I would like to believe that before my dad's plane crash that awful day in 1972, I would like to believe that he had the opportunity to ask Jesus to forgive him. But the abuse was in our home. My mother did not protect me. I guess I know that she knew that it was going on because it was in our home. And it wasn't a one-time or two-time event. It was several times a week event. And I grew up a very inward person. I didn't want to be a cheerleader. I didn't want to be on stage. I didn't want to do any of those things. I just wanted to disappear. I wanted to be invisible. And that is a trait of someone that has been abused. They prefer to be in the background. And it's very difficult. Then on the other hand, there are those who act out abuse that want to be the clown and try to cover everything up and want to be the actor and want to be the one out front. And it's a cover-up, to cover up the pain that's inside. And I know that you've heard this before, and you've probably seen it in writing, that scars from being hit, from being beaten, and all of that, you can see those scars. The scars that come from a child being abused are inward. And if I didn't tell you this, you would never know that I was a child of abuse. You would never know that on certain days I got my hair pulled and I got my head thrown up against the wall. You wouldn't know that I got two spankings. If I did anything wrong when I was about 6 years old, it was the sentence that was so scary. Wait till your dad gets home. So mom would give me a beating, and when dad got home, I got another beating. And so did my brother. It was a very difficult childhood. And all this time, my dad is playing the organ for preachers and evangelists all over the world. And my mom is a saintly woman in the church. We were raised, we couldn't wear clothing that exposed our arms or legs, and we couldn't cut our hair. You could not ever wear makeup. It was really hard. It was really sad. And I don't recall that my childhood was happy at all. I lived in a childhood of fear and tears. And when Gaylord heard my testimony, he was writing. He always is writing. When someone's talking, he's writing. And he was writing about this, and he started writing the song, and it's called In My Darkest Hour. And I just kept on talking, and he kept writing, and then we just kind of sat down together and said, this sounds good, and put it all together, and it turned out to be a beautiful, beautiful song that he wrote on my behalf. And I thank him so much from my heart for that. And as I grew up, when I became 16, I was in high school and I had met a girl. And one day I was in the bathroom at school and I was just having a breakdown, I think. I was just crying. I couldn't quit crying. And this girl came in and she said, Janie, what is it that makes you cry so much? You're so sad all the time. And I finally, for the first time in my life, told someone about the abuse. Now, let me back up just a second, because the reason I had never been able to tell anybody was I was told from my dad, if you ever tell anybody about this, I'll kill you. Now, I'm going to tell you that a child takes that to heart. That person is bigger than you physically. That person is somebody that's supposed to love you and you're supposed to be able to trust and you're supposed to be able to feel secure around. And they're telling you they'll kill you. And so that means you can't tell mom, you can't tell your brother, you can't tell anybody. Because that fear is real. So back to the story of speaking to my friend at high school. I finally told her, I said, I'm being abused at home. And she said, what do you mean? And I went into detail and told her things about the sexual abuse, about hitting, all the bruises on me, and why I was so bruised and all that sort of thing. And she said, well, you just come to my house. You come live with us. We'll take care of you. Nobody's going to ever hurt you again. Well, we made a plan, and I was going to run away from home. And I went home, and I got a brown paper bag, and I put a few things in it. I'd never run away from home before, so who knew what I was supposed to take? But I was 16, so, you know, I was going to take the important things. And I started to walk out the door, and she was going to have her dad pick me up in their car down the road. And I was going to go down the road and get in their car and go home with them. And as I was sneaking out the front door, all of a sudden, I felt my hair being pulled. And it was my dad. And he just started laughing. When I told him I was running away, he started laughing at me. And he said, well, if you want to run away, I'll just put you in an orphan's home. How would you like that? Instead of turning to me and saying, I'm so sorry that you're hurt. I'm so sorry I did this. I'm nothing. There was no I'm sorry. There was no asking forgiveness. It was laughing at me. And the tears flowed and flowed and flowed. And so the next day, I have to go to school after all of this turmoil. So I get up and I go to school. And my friend asked me, why didn't you come? We waited for you. And I said, he wouldn't let me come. He made me go back in the house. And that afternoon, I got a note, or my teacher got a note, saying that my dad was picking me up, that there was an emergency at home, and that I needed to come home. So I knew right then that something was really bad happening. And what he didn't know was I had told my mom the day that I was running away, she and I had a talk, and I told her what he had been doing to me. And she called me a liar. Your dad would never do that to you. What do you want? You just want to date some boy, and you're making up all this story so you can get your way. You always want your way. So when he picked me up from school, I got in the car with him, and he said, why did you do this to me? And I said, do what to you? He said, why did you tell your mother? I said, because I'm tired of it. I'm tired of it. It's like a used car. I feel like a used car. I'm all used up. And I don't want this to go on anymore. He drove straight home. He said, you get in that bedroom and you tell your mother that you lied. So my mom had been crying and she was lying across the bed. My dad sat down in the chair and I sat down in another chair. He said, now you tell your mom, all I ever did was teach you about your body and that you lied. And I know right then that it was the Holy Spirit that came on me and gave me strength that I didn't have. The Bible says when we are weak, He is strong. And I'm telling you what, I was a weak 16-year-old right there, because I knew that something was about to happen. So I looked at my mom and I looked at my dad and I looked back at my mom and I said, Mom, you can believe him or you can believe me, but I did not lie. And I got up to walk to my bedroom through all the tears. I didn't do it straight face. I was scared. And I was crying. My mom was crying. My dad was furious because I had told the truth. The truth will set you free, folks. I'm telling you, the truth will set you free. If you're keeping a secret about abuse, or if you're the perpetrator and you're keeping that secret, I'm telling you what, you tell the truth and the truth will set you free through Jesus Christ. I got up and walked from that room toward my bedroom, which is just a short little hall over to my bedroom. And all of a sudden, there it went again, pulling my hair. He grabbed me by the back of my hair and he threw me up against the wall. And he took me to my bedroom and he said, "Strip your clothes off. I'm going to beat you." And I said, "I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it." He started ripping my clothes off. He took his belt off and he proceeded to beat me black and blue. And I had to go to school the next day, put on a happy face, and don't tell anybody or he'll kill you. It was a dark hour for me. And I know that's what Gaylord heard when he decided to write this song, "In My Darkest Hour," because it says, "I know your hurts. I know your pain. I see your tears. And I know that Jesus saw me that day, taking that beating and screaming out for help. And there was no help." So why am I telling you all this? I'm telling you this to encourage you, because Jesus is there for you. He's there to forgive you. He's there to heal those hurts. And that was a long time ago that happened. But when I talk about it, it's like yesterday. Except when I talk about it now, I talk about it because I know Jesus healed me. I know He's healed me. I don't cry through it. I don't get fearful through it. I just know that Jesus healed me. I know that the day He was on the cross, He was talking about it. I know your hurts. I see your tears. I felt your pain. And I took all your fears. He saw me that day. He took my pain and He healed me. When I went to church, and I said, "I feel like I've been in a pig pen, just like the prodigal son." The lesson was about the prodigal son. I was the pig in the pig pen, and I wanted out. I wanted to be set free. And I know that Jesus set me free. Now, I'd like you to listen to this song, "In My Darkest Hour," and just let Jesus heal you. If you have those pains, if you have suffered abuse in any form, emotional, physical, mental, sexual, or all of the above, if you're the perpetrator and you want to be set free, then I ask you to fall on your face before Christ right now and ask Him to set you free. In Jesus' name.
Well, that's why I call Janie one of God's trophies of grace. And those of you who know her, you understand, how could this have been? It's a marvelous thing to see the change in her life, to see the loving, caring, compassionate, sensitive person that she is, victorious, I might add, all because of what Jesus so graciously did in her life. And like she said, He will do in your life, in your darkest hour. He sees you too.
Thank you for having me on this program. And I just want to say my prayers are that you would be set free. I know that Jesus loves you. There's nothing so bad that you've done that you can't be forgiven. Nothing. Please listen as I sing the song. It's my testimony. And I pray that it blesses you in my darkest hour. Thank you.
the times in your life when you don't feel His Spirit. It doesn't seem like His presence can be found. Though you've been on your face and you poured out your heart, it doesn't seem like He's anywhere around. You are not alone, He is always with you. There's absolutely nothing He can't do. He's not far away, He's closer than a brother. In the valley He's teaching you. Are there days, are there nights when you don't feel like praying? There is no use trying anymore. Fill your mind with His Word. Keep your eyes on Jesus. He will surely turn it all around. God is at work. He will finish what He started. All of His promises are true. Don't feed the desperation. Let the Holy Spirit comfort you. You are not alone. He is always with you. There's absolutely nothing He can't do. He's not far away. He's closer than brother. In the valley He's teaching you. God is at work. He will finish what He started. All of His promises are true. Keep your faith in Him. Don't feed desperation. Let the Holy Spirit